Hello students, Alice Tihelková speaking again, and today, quite unusually, I'm going to give you a voice recording of a lecture, not just seminar materials, but also a lecture. This is because we're starting a new field of study, which is lexicology. And some of it might be a bit unfamiliar to you, some of the categories and so on. So I've decided to give you a talk which will cover the most important points of the lecture. We will not be dealing with the intro, okay? The first slides, just read them, you know, what is a morpheme and what is a lexeme and so on. And we'll jump straight into word formation, which is really the key sort of area of the first week of lexicology that we'll be doing together, okay? How do we make new words? How do we add new words into the English word stock? We'll be concerned with the following word formation processes: derivation or affixation, compounding, conversion, abbreviation, borrowing, blending, clipping, back formation, and then some smaller sort of minor ways of forming new words, which are nevertheless quite good fun and creative. Okay, so the first way, and this is not like a hierarchy of importance, this is just kind of a as I number them, but we may as well start with a different one, doesn't really matter. The first word formation process is affixation or derivation. It's basically deriving a new word from an existing word by adding an affix, which can be either a prefix, předpona, or suffix, přípona. It's the same as in Czech. Přítel, nepřítel, okay? Přátelský, nepřátelský, friendly, unfriendly, okay? Hezký, nehezký, attractive, unattractive, etc. It's very much the same. So if you know derivation in Czech, you will be familiar with derivation in English, okay? Sometimes you can add both, okay? So you have encouragement, contains the prefix in and the suffix ment. The difference between prefixes and suffixes, other than the position, okay, is that prefixes usually maintain the word class, the part of speech, okay? So whether you say friendly or unfriendly, they are both adjectives: obey, disobey, husband, ex-husband, okay? Whereas suffixes often change the word class completely. So you have restore, restoration, accessory, accessorize, friend, friendless, okay, etc. That's the basic difference between them. And now we're going to take a look at some of the sort of most common prefixes, whether they are adjectival or verbal or whatever. You can notice that some of them look kind of more international, okay? This is because they come from Latin, or some of them from Greek, okay? And they can combine with English words, with words of English origin, okay? Some of them are sort of typically English, like over, under, okay, an, etc. You probably know. If you don't know, I might as well tell you that the English word stock, the vocabulary, comes from several sources, okay? And there are some Celtic words, but there are very few of them. Then the largest body of vocabulary is Anglo-Saxon, okay? It came the Old English, as the Anglo-Saxon tribes came to England and they settled down, created the Seven Kingdoms. So the colloquial spoken daily language, it's mostly of Anglo-Saxon origin. They are very short words like go and stay and pick and so on. And then, as you know, the Norman conquest happened in 1066, and the Normans took over the island and they established a new ruling class. Now the masters, the kings, were not English, they were Norman, okay? And the Normans were a mixture of Vikings and French, and they spoke this sort of Norman French, okay? And they Frenchified a lot of the English vocabulary. And really the language of the ruling class, of administration, of education, court, finance, and so on, actually was this Norman French. And that is why it's almost like you have a huge split in the English language. If you look at how people talk in their everyday life, and then when you listen to how people in the media talk, the professors, I mean, I usually talk more like ordinary people, okay? It's been my experience when I, you know, used to stay in the UK. I always tended to stay with working class people, so I talk a bit like them, okay? I don't use that many learned words as some of the academics do. But, you know, if you listen to university professors, they just use so many French words, so many, okay? Even sort of ordinary English people often don't understand what these people are saying, and they have dictionaries in their homes to check and so on. So there's like this split. It's a class thing. You remember my Realia classes. I told you so many things about class. Okay. And so basically it's like two, as Benjamin Disraeli was saying, there are two nations. Okay. And each of them speaking a different language. And so, you know, so the formal written educated English is full of French words, okay? And the ordinary spoken English is kind of this old Anglo-Saxon stock. Sorry, I went off topic, but I can't stop once I get to this topic. I can't stop. All right, so some of these prefixes are of Latin origin, like inter, okay, re, bi, bisexual, bilingual, decentralized, okay, pro and anti-American, pro-government, etc., whereas some of them are typically Anglo-Saxon, over, under, un, and so on, okay? Right, so these are prefixes. And then we have suffixes. So, ER or EESS, waiter, waitress, okay, printer, stewardess, lioness, and so on, okay? Then, for example, ism, that's of Latin origin, okay? Communism, socialism, anachronism, okay? ER, profit, it should be double E. Oops, no. I sort of put the same thing twice. I'll have to delete it in the, I'll have to delete it in the lecture. I've got the same things, same thing twice. Silly me. Okay, let's go on. Asian, starvation, victimization. Okay, again, you can see this is not of sort of old English origin. Okay, ish, however is. Okay, snobbish, outlandish, feverish. Then able. Well, actually, it's pronounced able, and some students get it wrong. They say manageable or comfortable. That's wrong. The only thing when it's pronounced able is the word able. I'm able to do something. But when it's a suffix, it's always able, manageable, drinkable. Okay. If it's I, B-L-E, it's visible. Okay. Negligible, and so on. Right. Then ED, tangled, absent-minded, star-crossed, tight-lipped, etc. Mend, arrangement, embodiment, amazement. EFI is actually very productive. Beautify, spotify, certify, okay, mummify, mummifikovat, and so on. Stratify, whatever. It's a very commonly used suffix. And eyes, symbolize, legalize, publicize, etc. Okay, so these are some of the suffixes. There are more suffixes, of course. If you really want to know these things in greater depth, then you can go to the courseware of the course LEAR, which used to be the old lexicology, and there you will find a similar lecture, but you know, it will be, because it's divided into several PowerPoints, it's much more in depth. And now we only have time to go through the sort of main things. Okay, so publicize, legalize, let's go down. So that was derivation or affixation. And now let's go to compounding. So basically it's putting two words together. It's as simple as that. Okay, but if you want a more sophisticated explanation, a compound is a lexical unit consisting of more than one base and functioning grammatically and syntactically as a single word. Okay, so this is the quirks definition. But really, it's putting two or more, I should say, two or more, it can be four or five sometimes words together. When you're dealing with citation compounds, they can be quite long. Okay, the most common, though, form of compounds are those that just have two components, okay? Hair dryer, post office, okay? And so on. You can create, compounds can consist of different sort of parts of speech, different word classes. There can be nouns, they are most common, but they can be adjectives, they can be adverbs, etc. Right? There are three basic ways of spelling compounds. They can be spelled as one word, a bulldog, okay, for example. Or they can have a hyphen. Usually it's the adjective, compound adjectives that are hyphenated. Anglo-American, absent-minded, dim-witted, etc. Okay? Or they can be spelled as two words, railway station, post office, and so on. But in fact, there can be even variation with the individual sort of compounds. There can be as many as three ways of spelling it. So a flower pot can be spelled as two separate words, or hyphenated, or a single word. By the way, the trend I've noticed, the trend is usually when it's new, it tends to be two words, okay? And as it becomes more and more used, it's kind of a sort of becomes one word, as you know, in spelling. So the more recent uses of compounds very often are just one word, unless it's too long. If it's too long, that the individual components, if they have more syllables, then they're kept separately. Okay, railway station will probably never be spelled as a single word, but a flower pot, hair dryer, okay, and so on. They become one word. Right, let's go on. What have you got there? Compounding. Examples of compounds, okay? So you can have noun compounds or compound nouns. You can call it both ways. So things like nightfall or skyfall. I'm thinking of the Bond movie, Skyfall. Playboy, popcorn, heartbeat, flashlight. Okay, birth control. You can see it's two words. Haircut, bookkeeping, okay? With a hyphen, etc. Then you have adjectival or adjective compounds or compound adjectives, okay? So you have things like breathtaking. Look, it's a single word. But then you have heartbreaking with a hyphen, self-defeating, anything with self as a hyphen, self-confidence, self-destruction, okay? Self-control, life-giving, short-lived, kind-hearted, okay? There is a special type of compounds. I couldn't resist putting it there. We call them quotation compounds. That's when actually you almost like take somebody's quotation, something that somebody says, and make it into a compound, usually an adjective. Okay. So, for example, a go to hell voice or end of the day gesture. 5 o'clock in the morning men, okay, that's usually men who go to work at 5 o'clock, so the 5 o'clock in the morning men. Let sleeping dogs lie approach, okay, or she threw a don't give me that rubbish look at me, okay, so it can actually, you can coin your own quotation compounds like that, okay, it's very often in books, in popular fiction, and so on. Okay, then we have a special type of compounds called neoclassical compounds. Neoclassical compounds contain one or more constituents which are from Greek or Latin, okay? And they are usually, they differ from, examples of derivation where you have this prefix like counterculture, okay, or defrost, or ex-partner, because even in Latin, these are prefixes. But here, actually, they are sort of clipped words that exist on their own in Latin or Greek. Okay, so agriculture, okay, this agros or something like that in Greek, it meant fields, okay. So agriculture, turbojet, biophysics, okay. Bio is not a prefix, it's a whole word, you know, biology or something like that, okay. Democracy, again, here, it's from demos in Greek, which means people, okay. Psychology, again, psyche, okay, it's a word in Greek. So there is a difference between democracy or psychology and, for example, cooperate or international, okay. These things are, the latter case, they are prefixes even in sort of Latin and Greek, whereas the ones we've got here as example of neoclassical compounds, they are sort of words, they're free morphemes, okay, in English, or in Greek or Latin. But sometimes the line is quite fuzzy. It's very difficult. In some words, it's difficult to decide whether it's a sort of example of derivation or a neoclassical compound. The line is not completely sort of straight and clear cut. Okay, also something I don't mention in this lecture, I didn't want to make it too complicated for you, but I think it's worth mentioning. Some of the compounds actually denote something which lies outside the compound, okay? The meaning, the compound names something which is outside these two words. If you say hair dryer, then it's a dryer for hair. Okay, so it refers to something within the meaning. But if you say things like hot dog, okay, it's not a dog, okay? Or if you say about somebody, he's a turncoat, převlíkač kabátu, okay? Turncoat, the person is not a coat, it's a person. And hot dog is food, it's not a dog, okay? So they are often called, or they're called exocentric compounds, or they have a name from Sanskrit. They are called Bahuvrihi compounds. Okay, Bahuvrihi, which is a funny name, but it's just, they're quite common. If you say somebody is a dimwit, okay, a stupid person, or an egghead, okay, fuckwit, okay, somebody who's stupid. They are examples of exocentric compounds, okay? Maybe you'll spot some of them in our materials. Right, let's go on. So that was types of compounds. And next, very, very productive way of forming new words is conversion. Okay. Conversion basically means that you take one word class and make it into a different word class without adding or taking away anything, okay? So the form is the same, but the word class is different. So you have a stone, kámen, to stone, kamenovat někoho. Or the other way around, the verb can be first, to drink, and then from that you have the noun, a drink, okay? A very special type is, and very often students identify it wrongly, they say it's compounding, okay? When you have a phrasal verb to break down, you make it into a noun, a breakdown. Of course, it has two constituents. It looks like a compound, okay? But the word formation process responsible for its creation was conversion. It was not like you take the word break and you take the word down and you make it into a noun breakdown. No, the noun breakdown was created from the phrasal verb to break down, okay? So things like, I don't know, there's just so many blow back and fight back and lots of words with back, okay, or down, okay, slash down and etc. Okay, so they are examples of conversion from phrasal verbs. Conversion is very typical for English because, as we said, English has no inflection. It has no declension or conjugation. So basically, kámen a kamenovat can look the same in English. Okay, that makes it a very, very productive word formation process. We can have either full conversion, which means that nothing changes, all the new word takes on all the sort of categories of the new word class, okay? And then you have something called partial conversion, when the newly created word accepts only some characteristics of the new word class. Sometimes examples of partial conversion are words, the nouns created from adjectives. So you have the poor, chudý, the poor, chudý. Unemployed, nezaměstnaný, the unemployed, nezaměstnaní. Okay. Beautiful, krásný, the beautiful, krásno. Okay. And then you can have some variation in stress. For example, you have the word record, záznam, but to record, zaznamenat. Okay. You have these sort of variations in stress and so on, okay? Right, a progress, pokrok, but to progress. Stress is on the second syllable, okay? So again, that's not full conversion because you have something is different, okay? But it's partial conversion. Right, let's go on. So that's conversion. And you just have so many. I've seen it. If you read papers or magazines, you see so many examples of conversion. And it's so important. You know, I can't stress it enough how important conversion is. So I included a separate exercise in it for you in your handout. Right. Now, the next word formation mode is back formation. This is usually the most difficult one for students to grasp. Okay, but basically what back formation is, that a noun is created first, okay, and then from that noun you create a verb by removing a suffix, okay, or something which is perceived as a suffix, and it's not really, but usually it is some sort of suffix, and you take it away and you create a verb. So it's always creating verbs from nouns by removing the suffix. Derivate is like reverse derivation. With derivation, we add something. With back formation, we take something away. But this is not just like clipping or it's taking away that suffix. Okay. So, for example, the word editor. Okay, was coined originally, and from that, the er suffix was removed. And you have to edit, okay? Or the word brainwashing. This ing suffix was removed and you have to brainwash. But brainwashing was there first. And brainwashed was only sort of derived from it by removing the suffix, okay? So you have things like burglar to burgle, babysitter to babysit, television to televise, okay? Sleepwalking to sleepwalk. Self-destruction to self-destruct, okay? Daydreaming to daydream, housekeeping to housekeep, etc. Okay, these words like daydreaming, housekeeping, okay, sleepwalking. First, they were nouns. And by taking away this ing at the ends, you get verbs, which, through a process called back formation. So this one is a bit difficult. When I practice it with my students, they usually have the biggest difficulty with this one. But you needn't, because there are not that many examples, that they are pretty obvious. I've listed most of them for you either here or in your handout. Right, let's go on. Abbreviation. This is a huge sort of area. You can abbreviate in many ways. Okay, because people just don't like using words that are too long, and especially the English. The English don't like using words that are too long, so they sort of cut as much as they can, okay? Right, so there are several ways how you can abbreviate. One of them is clipping. Clipping is very simple. Usually there is a word which has more syllables and you cut some of them off, okay? So professor, prof, doctor, doc, okay? Advert or advertisement can become an advert or just ad, okay? Fabulous becomes fab, okay? Beat the Beatles, they were called the Fab Five, okay? Statistics become stats. Introduction becomes intro, okay? And demonstration becomes demo, information becomes info, etc. Right? So that's clipping, very, very common. Then another word formation mode is acronyms. There are two types of acronyms. What usually is understood as acronym is when you take the initial letters of some, usually name of an institution or something, it can be some technology, etc. And you pronounce it as a word. So you have NATO, UNESCO, OPEC, radar, laser. These things, radar and laser, are actually abbreviations, okay? So that's what we usually understand under the name acronym. But some linguists, and there is some disagreement. Again, I found that linguists disagree, as they tend to do. Many linguists also include under acronyms abbreviations, which are sort of initialisms. They are from the first letters, but they are not pronounced as words. You know, they're pronounced by the individual letters. So you have USA, UN, CIA, FBI, EEC, VIP, HQ, headquarters, DJ, etc. UFO. So they are not, they're pronounced by the individual letters, not as one word, like NATO. NATO is not pronounced N-A-T-O, but NATO. But you have CIA. But they're also considered by many linguists as acronyms, okay? They are also called alphabetisms or initialisms, right? So that's a very, very common way of abbreviating. The third type we can refer to as blending. This is one of my favorite and also currently very, very productive. And that's basically you take usually two words and you kind of make a blend from them by cutting parts of one word or another, you know, both or just one of them and so on. And they kind of merge into each other. But you can still recognize what they are. They don't disappear completely. So you have things like advertisement and entertainment. You have advertainment, okay? Biographical and picture, like a movie, okay? Biopic, it's a movie about somebody's life. Breakfast plus lunch, brunch, okay? Cybernetic and organism, cyborg, okay? Motor and hotel, you have motel, you have boatel, which is on the boat, and so on. Smoke plus fog, smog. Web and seminar, webinar, you have weblog becomes blog, video blog becomes vlog, etc. Especially today with the sort of the internet and so on, you have so many blends, okay? So it's very, very common, and you'll see some examples in my handouts. Okay, so that's blending. Then six, borrowing. It's very hard to sort of say what constitutes a borrowing. Do these words that were adopted into English, as a result of the Norman invasion, are they still considered borrowings or are they now established sort of part of the vocabulary, okay? Usually borrowings, we regard the more recent ones as borrowings, okay? So the words like sushi, okay, or perestroika, okay, from Russian, and robot from Czech, etc. Okay, so English has borrowed heavily throughout its history, okay? It's been like a sponge that's been sort of absorbing, okay, soaking in new vocabulary. David Crystal, one of the greatest linguists alive, okay, of the English language, he said that English is an insatiable borrower, okay, so it can't help borrowing all the time. By the way, if you look at Czech is now borrowing very, very heavily from English. There's just so many English borrowings, especially related to the internet and to computer games and the social media and so on. Okay, think of the Czech word like. Dostala jsem tři lajky. Okay, the word like comes from the English like, and now it's part of the Czech vocabulary. Okay, right. So you can see in this graph. The percentages of borrowing from other languages, and of course many other languages borrow from English. It's a reciprocal process. Okay, on the next slide you have some examples of loan words from other languages: Spanish, Italian, Dutch, German, things like noodle, poodle, okay, sauerkraut, schnitzel, kindergarten. There are many words were sort of accepted into English from Hindi when India was Britain's most valuable colony, and there was a very vivid cultural interchange between India and Britain. So things like bungalow and jungle, Maharaja, pajamas, shampoo, khaki. Okay, Chinese ketchup. I didn't know that. It was I thought it was from Spanish, you know, from Mexico or something like that. But no, it's from Chinese. Ketchup, tea, ginseng, lychee, kung fu. And Japanese, my favorite, because I'm trying to learn Japanese. So geisha, kamikaze, karaoke, kimono, samurai, toy, sushi, tsunami, and so on. Okay, right. Anime. Anime is interesting. It's not from Japan. From Japanese, it's animated picture, but it has this, you know, it has a special etymology anyway. Okay, Russian apparatchik borscht, za, okay, it's pronounced za, okay, and it doesn't just relate to the ruler, but for example, you can say he's a poverty czar, and it means an expert in a government on poverty. Okay, I don't know how they sort of came to sort of use this the word in this sense, but I've noticed that. Glasnost, icon. Okay, perestroika, vodka, of course. Yes, right. Let's go. So, you know, lots of borrowings in English, and then one of the most fascinating word formation modes. And that's neologisms, okay? So creating new words. We can do it in many ways. You can invent a completely new word, okay? Which didn't exist before. Or you can give a new meaning to an existing word. If you say something is wicked, and you mean it's great, it's fantastic. But of course, in originally the mean wicked, that the word wicked means like evil, okay, but you give it this sort of this meaning. Or the word gay, in the past gay meant happy, merry, okay, but it came to sort of refer to homosexual and so on, okay. Or you can make words through various word formation processes. You can sort of combine blending and sort of compounding and so on. Okay, so there are many ways of sort of creating these completely new. Usually neologisms are created when there is a new concept that arises in the culture. Okay, think of Brexit. So many new sort of facts emerge with Brexit, and they needed to be named. Okay, so usually neologisms emerge when there is a need to name a new thing. It can be a product, it can be a social phenomenon, and so on. Okay, so Ramona. Okay, Ramona is a person who moans because he wanted to remain, but of course Brexit is happening, so a Ramona. Okay, and regret. It's like regret about Brexit, regret. And then you have the various exits: Brexit, Chexit, Frexit, French exit, you know, Grexit, the Greek exit, etc. Okay, so there are just so many neologisms, and I've listed on the next slide just a few examples, but there's just so many more. So emoticon, hashtag, Wi-Fi, and you can see the word formation processes in them. They are new words, but they were formed very often by the existing word formation processes, or Wi-Fi. Okay, it's a compound, but also there is clipping. Okay, selfie is familiarity marker. We'll see it in one of the next slides. Okay, blogosphere. Okay, digital detox. Do you know what digital detox is? It's just spending your time away from sort of the media, social media, etc., the computer. Okay, and so you get well psychologically by not being connected all the time. Fashionista, okay, somebody who's kind of quite radical about fashion, is obsessed with fashion. Foodie, somebody who tries to eat healthy and it becomes an obsession, okay, constantly needing to control, you know, what kind of food they eat. Hipster. This visco girl, okay, that my daughter said it's a type of sort of like a very fashion conscious girl. They pose in a certain type of clothes, you know, and so on. Size zero model is a model who is too thin, okay, so it's not even XS, it's smaller than that, so size zero model. And lots of neologisms to do with social media, internet, troll, fake news, Twitter storm, virtual, this is one of my favorite, virtual signaling. I think Rod Little, one of my favorite British commentators, if you ever want to listen to very intelligent commentary on what's happening in Britain and sort of society in general, listen to Rod Little. Okay, he's a contributor to The Spectator magazine, and he came up with this term virtual signaling, which means celebrities often do it. They kind of pose, you know, they make sure they are seen commenting on global warming and on poverty and on I don't know what, but very often it's just posturing, because in reality they fly in their private jets like Prince Harry, you know, and so on. But they really need to be seen on social media as saying the right kind of things, sort of arousing the right kind of emotions, being seen as compassionate and so on. But the reality is often very different. I hope you've seen the last Golden Globes with Ricky Gervais. You know, he's the British comedian. He's one of my favorite. He's just smashing. And it was the way he stood there and gave it back to the sort of Hollywood, all these celebrities, and he basically called their bluff. He accused them in a funny way, but sort of total hypocrisy and all these sort of things. It's one of the best sort of speeches ever. Look him up. Okay. No, sorry, I'm sort of drifting away to British realia because this is basically my specialization. So can't help myself. So check the Golden Globes, the last ones, and you'll see what I mean. Chattering classes. This is a neologism. Chattering classes are people from the media and the academia and people from the sort of intellectual circles who tend to have an opinion on everything. And they like to discuss their opinions, but they're very different. Very, very often they're removed from everyday life. That's why people call them the chattering classes. They just talk, but they very often don't understand what real life is like. Okay, so it's a popular term in Britain. Oh, she's one of the chattering classes. Commentariat, again, it's like the professional newspaper commentators. They're almost like a class of their own, living their own lifestyle. So that's why they're called commentariat, which is kind of modeled on proletariat. Okay, and there are so many more of these. Sort of salariate are people who earn a salary. Okay, many people sort of they are employed on short-term contracts, you know, they're paid seasonally, they have insecure job. But if you have a salary, that means you're middle class, you're doing well. So these people are called salariates. Okay, and then other things, binge watching, so watching TV series, all the episodes at once, you know, you can't wait for the, you know, you just have to watch it, everything in one go. Shopaholic, okay, somebody who's addicted to shopping. Influencer, twerk, okay, Brexit, Chexit, Ramona, Covidiot. It's a person who behaves like an idiot in relation to coronavirus. Clusterfuck is one of my favorite. Clusterfuck. It's basically when too many things go wrong at the same time, as they tend to do. Okay, so what a clusterfuck. FOMO. It's an acronym, really, FOMO, because it's pronounced as one word, not F-O-M-O, but FOMO. Fear of missing out. It's these people who feel that if they don't check their Instagram every 5 minutes, and if they don't go to these parties and they're not seen at social events, they will miss something, you know, people will forget about them, they'll become nobody, and so on. Okay, so these are some of the neologisms. They reflect the changing culture. They're deeply cultural. Okay, they reflect what's going on in our society. That's why they're so fascinating. Okay, right, and we have last two left. They are the smaller sort of, I think Quirk calls them miscellaneous modes. Okay, whatever that means. Usually, again, there are some other word formation processes involved, but they are special in a way that sort of makes them stand out as a separate sort of word formation process. So, familiarity markers. You have things like when my kids say, "Bojem do mekáče," okay? Nebo místo na karate říkají na karáčo, and so on, okay? And Instagram je Instač, okay, etc. So you demonstrate your familiarity with something, okay, by some sort of adding some affix, which very often expresses some degree of fondness or familiarity. Some of them can be negative. Some of the affixes can express some negativity, especially the ones that end in O, like weirdo, wacko, okay, and so on. But most of them are affectionate, okay? So E, i.e. hippie, Aussie, okay, sweetie, townie. A townie is a person who loves to live in town. They like to go to bars and clubs and parties, okay, and so on. Freddie, Charlie, and so on. Meghan, Harry and Meghan, they have a baby boy and he's called Archie, which really is a familiarity marker. Originally the name is Archibald or something like that, but they called him Archie, so they picked a familiarity marker for his name. Okay, and then O, ammo, weirdo, ammo for ammunition, weirdo, wacko, jacko, Michael Jackson used to be called Jacko, or wacko Jacko, and so on. Okay, and then these ER or STR, soccer, fresher, hipster, okay, etc. English names, very often you abbreviate them by adding S. So Adam is Ads, Caroline is Kaz, okay, Jeremy is Jez. I've seen it so many times. It tends to be more working class thing to do, but it's very, very common, okay? Or you can say somebody's nuts, somebody's bonkers in British English. It's like crazy, okay? Preggers means pregnant, etc. Right? So familiarity markers. Telly, television. We say telka, okay, in Czech, so it's similar. And finally, this is a funny word formation mode. Reduplicatives. These are compounds which contain parts that are either the same or there is just a variation in usually vowels, okay? So walkie-talkie, vysílačka, TikTok, okay? It's the sound of the clock, but it's a sort of social media platform, TikTok, okay? Ping pong, flip-flop, okay? Seesaw, houpačka, hocus pocus, tip-top, pal-mal, and so on, okay? Goody-goody. Right, so there's this sort of repetition and often also a sort of change, alteration of vowels, Okay, so this in a nutshell were the main word formation modes. There are some more, it's more complicated, but I like a system and I hope I was able to give you that system. And now your detective work starts because your task with your handout will be to look at the sentences I have prepared for you and try to spot the correct word formation process. It's great fun. You learn new words. I hope you will enjoy it. If you have any questions, any requests, just write an email to me or see me in my office hours. I'm now free for consultations every Monday and Wednesday. You can see me. Okay, just drop me an email saying I'll be coming at this time. Okay, and I'll be there for you. Okay, in my face mask and with my certificate that we all need to present, you know, that we are healthy, but I'll be happy to see you. Okay, so have a lovely weekend and I'll see you later. Bye-bye.